In the course of the fighting, two groups of knights break out. One is led by Raymond III. The other is by Reynald of Sidon. They're both determined groups of heavily armed knights who charge in, and the Muslim forces simply give them a lane, and these forces race through, and then the Muslim forces close up the lanes, and there's no way to get back. And this is also a very clever tactical technique used in the Middle Ages. When you get a group of determined men who are really to fight their way through, let them go. Let them escape, because it just means you've taken out the best fighters in that force that's trapped, that you're closing in on, and then these forces, essentially all they can do is ride back to home, which is what happens. And Raymond dies later in the year in disgrace, you know, that he had deserted. There's stories of treachery. And that leaves King Guy, Reynald de Châtillon, and the rest of them up on that that summit, and eventually they're worn down, and the final charges just overwhelm them, capture the king, capture the relics. It's a first-class disaster. The army is destroyed. Most of the Templars and Hospitallers are killed. That's almost 500 knights. The victory is so overwhelming that Saladin's almost embarrassed by the number of prisoners. There's a dramatic story told in several of the chronicles that once all the prisoners are brought to Saladin, Saladin offers a cup of water to King Guy, which is in effect a hospitality for Guy. Guy drinks the water, knows that he's going to get safe conduct and be ransomed. He gives it to Reynald, his friend. Saladin immediately says, make sure that was given by King Guy, not by me. And Reynald is immediately moved off and beheaded on the spot. Whatever Templars and Hospitallers had survived the battle and were wounded were immediately killed. They were going to kill the Christian fanatics. On the other hand, the majority of the prisoners are ransomed. And in the next several months, any of the cities that surrender, including Jerusalem, are given generous terms. And Saladin is very clever here. Many of these castles and cities surrender. The refugees flee to the cities of Tyre, to Antioch, Tripoli, spreading the news of the defeat, swelling the ranks of the refugees, and making it all the easier, at least as Saladin hopes, of capturing those ports. Well, the victory essentially ends the kingdom of Jerusalem. And Saladin only made one mistake. He didn't take the city of Tyre. It was too powerful. His army backed off from it because 10 days after the Battle of Hattin, a fellow by the name of Conrad Montferrat, who's actually a brother-in-law of Sibylla, a brother of the first husband of Sibylla, arrives with military forces, steadies the defense at Tyre, and that base is going to prove essential for the reconquest of Outremer. And Saladin didn't risk the attack, well, because his army was too occupied taking other cities, and he didn't want to get his army involved in long-term sieges because there would always be problems with his allies. And the result is that the Crusaders held on to these three ports, which would allow them to be reinforced, and it meant immediately there was going to be a new crusade. And that while Outremer had collapsed, Western Europe was now going to be roused to come back and try to take back the kingdom. Nonetheless, the victory was spectacular. And if there is any doubt that a major military engagement can have a decisive effect, the Battle of Hattin is one of them. It proved one of the decisive battles of the 12th century. It virtually destroyed the kingdom of Jerusalem. It ruined the reputation of King Guy. It necessitated the launching of the Third Crusade. And it took crusading history in a whole new direction. And it is a credit to Saladin that he employed all of his tactical genius to draw those forces into an unfavorable battle. He was helped, of course, by incompetent leadership on the other side. But Saladin, by that victory alone, certainly deserves his reputation as the greatest Muslim general of the crusading era.